I'm not sure, but I think Mr. Richards was concerned that he was speaking today. He wears ties one more day a week than I do. So just shouting that out with you. Let's go ahead and pray before we go any further. All right. Father, we want to thank you for this day. Again, it has been prayed. We want to thank you for who you are and for the direction that you guide each one of us. We pray, Father, that we would seek your face in what we're doing, seek who you are, that we could better understand the life that you've given us, that we could better understand the greatness to which you've called us, that we might reflect your glory to the people around us. As was prayed, Father, we pray that as we leave this place, it would be transformed people, transformed into the image of your Son. Help us, Father, to rejoice in your word and rejoice with each other as we look at it. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Well, we've had some good speakers in the past couple of weeks, and so I really have no clue what I'm doing up here, but here I am. I want to continue what they're talking about, what they were talking about, though. I want us to look at a few things that Jesus asked his disciples. One day in Matthew 16, he asked his disciples, who do people say I am? I think it's a great question. I think it's a question that we need to ponder what society thinks about Jesus. A couple of years ago, a man wrote some cultural Jesuses out there, how some people view who Jesus is. And these are just some, he wrote like 20. I'm going to give you four that I like. And this is one to his. There's boyfriend Jesus, who wraps his arms around us as we sing about his intoxicating love in our secret place. There's spirituality Jesus, who hates religion, churches, pastors, priests, and doctrine, and would rather have people finding the God that is within us all. There's red carpet Jesus, who helps Christian actors and actresses win prestigious awards. And here's my favorite for all the football players out there. There's touchdown Jesus, who helps Christian athletes run faster and jump higher than non-Christians and seemingly determines the outcome of Super Bowls and other games. These are some cultural myths that are out there. And I want us to consider who the real Jesus is and not what our culture is describing him as. I want us to consider what Scripture has to say and who he truly is rather than what man may think. And so I want us to ponder that question that Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And we probably have our own. I imagine if each one of us were in this room and we were to give who Jesus is, we'd be throwing a little bit of our cultural Jesus in with some of the Bible. And that can be dangerous. I would much rather us just go directly to the Word and see who Jesus is. And Matthew 16:14, some of the cultural Jesuses they presented was Jesus was merely a prophet. That's a common one today, isn't it? That he was a good teacher. He was a miracle worker. These were some of the common cultural Jesuses that were out there. But Jesus is not that. Jesus even stops Peter. And I think he was, when Peter was answering his question, that he was getting it wrong. He's not some miracle worker. He's not some healer. He's not a good teacher. He's not a prophet. He's much more. And so Jesus looks at Peter and he says to him, you've been with me for a long time. Who do you say I am? Who do you think I am? What's your opinion of me? Peter answered the question. He said, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's our answer. That's who Jesus is. With all that entails, we need to look in Scripture to see what that talks about, what that means. But he's God, nothing less. And there can be nothing more. He is God, and God alone. He's the God who came to earth to live, to die, to rise again, so that one day, after I've lived, after I died, I will rise to be with him in heaven. This is God. This is who Jesus is. One author puts it this way. What we think about Jesus is everything. Acceptance or rejection of him makes all the difference. We must understand that he is Messiah, God's Son who came to us in human flesh and was crucified, buried, and raised from the dead, thus paying the full penalty of our sins. Now he reigns in heaven, and one day he will judge every human who has ever lived. To be there with him, we must believe this. We must rest our lives on it. Pretty important person to know who he truly is, isn't it? But why am I bringing this up too? I think the other speakers brought this up quite, you know, probably better than this. But I think it's important for us to know this because we need to step away from the idols that our culture has developed on who Jesus is. We need to step away from looking at what society says of Jesus. And we need to step aside of what even some of us believe about who Jesus is. And we need to walk away from that. And we need to understand that this concept that Jesus' work in our life is either increased or diminished based upon how biblical our view of him is. You guys get that? The work that Jesus can do in our life is increased by our understanding of who he is because we trust him more, or it's diminished by how little we know of him because we don't trust him. And we go off and do things on our own way, rather than doing the things that he prescribed for us to do. When our view of him is diminished, we live our life in uncertainty. We live our life in doubt because we can't trust him. We don't know him. We don't understand that he wants to be involved and be part of it. And so we walk away and create our own light, create our own way, and we leave him behind. If we are confused and uncertain and doubtful about who he is, our Christian life will be that. Confused, uncertain, and doubtful. So knowing who he is a great, great thing in our life. And he, the more the biblical our understanding of who he is, the greater he can work in us because we trust him more. And I think what we need to do and what we need to begin to understand is that I need to daily wake up and look at his word. I need to daily go into the scriptures and understand who my God is on a daily basis. So my trust in who he is and what he does can increase. So my understanding of how great a God we serve, how great a Savior we have, so that will increase daily. And I can begin to shape my understanding of who he is, not based on what people around me say, but what his word has to say who he is. God Almighty. There's an interesting passage in Isaiah chapter 50 and verses 10 and 11. I'll go ahead and read that for you. It says, and it's a strange passage. Last week we heard about Asa, which was a strange guy, but this one's even stranger, I think. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, walk by the light of your fire and by the fire torches that you have kindled. And know this, from my hand you will receive torment. Wow, that's a weird passage, isn't it? I want you to look at what it's actually trying to say to you at this point. He says, things can become difficult in our life. You could go through some very difficult times in your life. And if you are walking with him, you want to follow him, you need to rely on him. You need to trust him despite what the circumstances, despite the struggles that you're going through. You need to trust him and rely on him. But think about all the things that you guys are going through. How can you trust God, particularly if it's a God that you have no clue what he's about? And what ends up happening in this is what he says. You're going to be struggling, but if you rely on me and you trust me because you know me, I'm going to put you through this. I'm going to get you through it. But if you don't rely on me and you don't trust me and you try to create things your own way, to do things in your own power and your own ability, and you forsake me and who I truly am, you're going to create torment for yourself because you're not trusting and relying on me. You guys understand that? Yes. Okay. By lack of negation, everybody understands it. That's why daily we need to understand and learn of who he is. I'm going to give you an example of this. I'll try to make it short. Some of you are fully aware of this. Some of you aren't. But about 8 years ago now, seems like a lifetime ago, but 8 years ago, I was working in my backyard. And I was doing what any parent would do. I was making a place for my kids to play. I got an infection or cut in my finger. And that what ended up happening with that was a piece of dirt got in there. And that little piece of dirt had a streptococcal, flesh-eating disease. It got into my bloodstream. It went through my bloodstream and settled in my back. I had no clue. My back was hurting like crazy. Went to the doctors. The doctors had no clue what's going on. So they look at me and they say, here's some pain pills. It will help you. So I went home, took them. They didn't help me. I went back to the emergency room. I said, they're not helping. He goes, oh, we'll give you muscle relaxants because you just have a messed up back. And I go, appreciate that. So I went home. And I'm taking the pain medication, I'm taking the pain relaxers, or the muscle relaxers, and it's Monday now, my family's off somewhere, I'm not sure where they went. My wife was working, it was during the summer, so I was basically home alone. And I was just sitting on the couch, and I was trying to figure out a way to warm my back up, to stretch it out, because it was increasing in pain, and it was just killing me, literally. What ended up happening was I couldn't move. It was about noon that this happened. My wife comes home about 5:30 or 6 and finds me writhing in pain on the chair because I was unable to get to a phone, couldn't move my body. And I'm sitting there and she comes in and she freaks out. She calls the ambulance, they come and take me. The doctor looks at me and he says, he just has a bad back. Here's some muscle relaxants and pain pills. And I go, my wife says, look at his knee. It looks swollen. And it was about the size of a softball. And the doctor said, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. We're trying to get rid of the pain for him. And a couple hours went by, and my wife says, would you look at his knee? Now it's the size of a volleyball. And the doctor said, brilliantly, with his years of reasoning, there might be something wrong with him. So I'm sitting there in this hospital writhing in pain, and they start sticking needles in my knee. That makes it more pleasant. They start sucking out green pus in vials this big. And they took one out, two out, three out, four out. Then they walk away, and an hour later, they get the needles out and pump it back out. They said, he doesn't belong here. Get him to the hospital. I get to the hospital, and actually, from that moment to the time I got out of the hospital, I had no idea what happened. None. It turns out I was in the hospital for a month. And daily they were trying to get rid of the disease in my knee. They destroyed my back, and now they're scraping out my knee to get the gunk out on a daily basis. After 3 weeks of antibiotics and other things were going through my system trying to clean it out, they finally said, it looks like it's gone. And my wife said, good, and they said he'd probably not walk again. And so, evidently they're wrong. And so what ended up happening was I got out of the hospital and then I went home and I had antibiotics and painkiller going through me through IVs for another month while I was in my bed in my front room. And all the while I'm trying to hold my 11-month-old baby. Didn't work out too well, did it? Well, how do you trust God and rely on Him in that darkness? It's tough. But my family knew, my wife and I understood who God is. For her it was harder because I was knocked unconscious most of the time. But for her it was difficult. What ended up happening during this whole time is that she started drawing closer to God. She was saying, why? And then she says, you're good, you're sovereign, you're loving, you're mighty. And she just started describing who he is. And by the end of that month that I was in the hospital and the month and a half at home, she grew closer to God so much. It was just amazing to see what God did. Now, if you were to ask me, would I do that all over again so her walk with God would become close? In a heartbeat. His hand was in this to draw her closer. But I want to let you know something. My God is even greater than that. He used something that could have destroyed me to confirm my faith, but also to impress upon my wife her need to grow in faith. But he also did it for something else. I've been going to the doctor for years from a problem I was having with equilibrium, with the some things going on, and the doctors could never find out what the problem was. No clue. This is how God works. You see? He will use the circumstances of our lives to draw us closer to Him, but He also uses the circumstances in our lives to prepare us for other circumstances. What ended up happening? I'm sitting in my house trying to learn to walk again. My wife looks at me and she goes, your tongue's swollen. I go, you're kidding. I go, what do I need this for? And so now I'm going, am I going to lose my ability to speak? And she looked at me and she goes, stick out your tongue. So I did. One side of my tongue was really thick, the other side was thin. And so we went to the doctor and he goes, oh no, don't, your tongue's not swollen, not a problem with that. No, he didn't offer painkillers. What he did was, you have a 12th cranial nerve hypoglossal schwannoma. Translation, a non-cancerous tumor pressing on your nerve, destroying your tongue, the nerves in your tongue. And so he says, it appears to be quite aggressive now. It broke through the wall here of the skull and was heading towards the brain. It turns out that it's about the size of my hand, if I fold it up like that, and it was aggressively going towards the brain. Now, if I hadn't gotten sick with my knee problem, with a flesh-eating disease, I would never have known that I had a tumor going towards the brain. Never. And I would have died from the tumor attacking the brain. What ends up happening? I get sick. I can't control my speech anymore. I think it's a problem with swelling. It turns out the doctors now can finally diagnose why my equilibrium's off, why I get dizzy, why I'm starting to stutter more. And then they went in, and which is really cool, they took it back. And they peeled my head back like this, and they pinned it. I made the whole skin right there. Went in, and they cut the tumors and brought it out, and then they sewed it back up. I have a really nifty scar. Mr. Holliday could attest to my mohawk, right, that I had for just a wee bit. And what ended up happening, they removed it. And because of that, I'm standing before you today. I don't have all my speech. I don't have the ability to do all things speaking that I want to or walking that I want to. But one of the things it has done for me is caused me to slow down my life a little bit and understand a little bit more who He is. God. He's omnipotent. He's powerful. He's majestic. He is almighty. He's not what we see in society today. He is not what people try to paint Jesus as being. He's the God of this. Now, your struggles may be greater than what I just described to you. But each one of those things, because of my understanding and my belief in who He is, and my knowledge of this Word, has drawn me always back to Him. Peace. Comfort. And by the way, I've never been healed from it. But peace. Comfort. Understanding that my God is good. He is gracious. And He's going to use this for His glory. But He's also going to use it so I could draw nearer to Him, be conformed to the image that I'm reading of Him in here. Not according to the cultural myths out there of who Jesus is, but according to what His Word says who He is. That's what I want to challenge you guys with today. I want you to be able to answer that question that Jesus asked his disciples. Who do you say he is? Is it a Jesus who sins? A Jesus who lies? A Jesus who deceives, which by the way is a common picture of him today in our culture and our society? Or is he a God of truth, power, majesty, might? Is he a God who saves, loves? Is he a God who judges? Is he a God who does all these things that are found here? I challenge you to know more of who he is and not to walk away from his word so you can understand him. So when difficulties come, and I will tell you, they will. When difficulties come, you'll be able to weather it because your God is there. Your faith in him is strong and you know that you can rely on him. You could trust him. So what I want again to challenge you today is just to leave behind your understanding of who Jesus is, what culture tries to dictate to you. And I want you to know what the Bible says. I want you to get into your word and open the Bibles and ask God to help you know his word a little bit better. I want you to be able to know him and begin to practice the very things he did, to do what he did. And this will help you through your life. That's how we finish well. You remember last week with Asa? The way we finish well, we know him better. And when we know him better, we draw closer to him and we're transformed into the image of his son. Not into the image that rebels against his son. Philippians 3 tells us we need to know him better. Philippians 3 also says that we need to continue in the knowledge by practicing the things that we read. So this week I want to challenge you to do the essence of your Christian life and your calling. I want you to know this, but I also want you to practice this. Begin to trust him. Read a passage and trust him to do what he says. Read a passage, know who he is, and trust that what it says is true. Trust him. Let's pray. Father, I just ask that you help each one of us to walk away from the misunderstandings of who Jesus is, that we could walk more into the presence of him, understanding more of who he is and what he does, and that despite the things we might find ourselves going through, Father, that we could walk in the strength of knowing that you are at work in us to do and to will according to your good pleasure. I pray, Father God, that you help us to leave behind incomplete knowledge and help us press on to know your Son better. Help us to know who he is. Help us to imitate him, Father. May you be praised and glorified, Father, as we go forth from this room shining our light that others may see you and glorify you through us. In Christ's name we pray this. Amen.
All right, you guys, before I dismiss you, I want to remind you about this model in the back. I've never heard of it being in the job. And thanks to you, Ms. Williamson. We admire you. Thank you a lot. That's a great day.
So we did a hybrid.
Well done.
Thank you, sir.
If you'd have told me ahead of time that you were telling the story, I would have brought the picture.
No.
I'd have thrown it up there.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
But I've impressed everybody with
I still have it. I still have it.
It's your screensaver, I hope.
Has she seen it?
Why do you not tell me these things of why you... Why do you not tell me that you're going to do any chapel?
Well, I want to surprise you.
Why do you not tell me these things?
No, you fall asleep?
Huh?
You fall asleep?
Yeah, I've heard that story like 10,000 times.
Wow. I don't think you've heard all of it, buddy.
I've heard most of it.